So there's just so much in this neighborhood that was and still is. And I have to say, I want to be a part of the revitalization and renaissance of San Francisco.
Welcome to North Beach Now. I'm the producer, Blair Helsing. Of people living in North Beach today who value its past, present, and future, few can compare to Blondina Farley. After many prior conversations, I finally had the chance for a sit-down interview with Blondina on February 28, 2024. The location looked out over the bus stop at Columbus and Stockton, where the 30 Stockton and 45 Union buses ply their trades. This was the mezzanine of A Cavalli Cafe, one of the excellent North Beach spots to grab a coffee and have a meeting. I want to get right to Blondina's interview, so to summarize this introduction in a few words, Blondina's fun to talk with. She knows many, many people, some known as characters, of past and present North Beach, and she cares deeply about this city and the people in it. The interview touches in order on the following: Blondina's path from New Jersey to North Beach, her experiences in and around North Beach, including quite a lot about Chinatown, Music City Rehearsal and Hotel in Lower Polk on Bush Street, and finally, the city's beating heart of art. We're sitting here in A Cavalli Cafe, Blondina Farley and myself.
Yeah.
Noted tour guide. I think fair to say you're the foremost expert on three most important places in San Francisco.
Oh.
One being Chinatown.
Yes.
One being North Beach,
uh-huh.
Where we're sitting.
Yeah.
The third being Music City.
So much. Yes.
In our talking today, I want to cover all three areas
neighborhood. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
So let me give some details to our listeners. You are a Best of the Bay winner.
Yes.
Your website is blondinatours.com. And just to be clear, that's B-L-A-N-D-I-N-A tours.com. Same handle on Instagram, right?
Yep.
And in terms of your expertise that I was just referring to, there's food, there's history, there's music. And the Music Hall of Fame, also part of Music City.
Right.
So, with all that in mind, how did you come to be in San Francisco?
Well, I'm a Jersey girl. I grew up in New Jersey, and in a little town called Nutley. And it was, you know, kind of a blue-collar town. But the good part about it was 20 minutes out of New York City. So as a kid, you know, so many of us came as outsiders. And when I grew up hearing about San Francisco. And I heard about the free spirits, the art, the music, the renaissance of love. And it was all during that time. It was all happening. And at the time I was going, you know, I grew up in the conservative area. So living outside of New York City, I took the opportunity of taking the bus that took 20 minutes to get to the city. And so I spent a lot of time there walking around the village.
Oh.
And also, when I was a teenager, I got a chance to go to an art school over there, the Art Students League. Still one of my favorite schools. I can still remember the smells and the people, so vibrant. And even experiences like sitting in the MoMA and having this elder artist come sit next to me and look at my artwork I had done that day. I was just a kid, and she liked it, and she wrote a number of an artist I should get in touch with, which I never did because I was just a kid. I didn't know better. But it turned out it was a woman by the name of Alice Neal, one of the foremost painters in the world. And just those kind of things gave me an idea that there was something bigger than my little town. Although famous people came from there, like Martha Castira, a.k.a. Stewart, and Annie Oakley. But anyway, I grew up thinking about coming west. So immediately after high school, I went to Miami. I went to art school, art history, but I also studied fashion design. I always wanted to do fine art, but I thought fashion design and art in that way may have been a, you know, kind of a, I could make money that way.
Mm-hmm.
I was never very, very good at that. Still not so much. But anyway, I did some fashion design, some modeling, some singing, all that sort of thing. But, you know, I came back after I went to school to New Jersey and worked on a newspaper. But then I went to art school in New York City. And it was really wonderful. I went to the School of Visual Arts. I loved it. But it was kind of redundant. I'd already learned a lot of things that I had already learned in art school. And a friend of mine had just come back from Paris, and he said, "Do you want to drive cross-country?" And I said, "Okay." So I hopped in the car, and we took a drive-away car where you take all other people's stuff.
Oh, yeah, stuff. Right.
And I was sitting on a tire the whole way out and went through Texas hours and hours and hours.
Oh, yeah.
And we wound up in Los Angeles because he had a friend who was a screenwriter. But we soon found out we had to give up the car, and we soon found out you needed a car in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So he happened to have another friend that lived in San Anselmo who was the head of a Sufi commune. So we went to the Sufi commune, but it wasn't the way that either of us wanted to live very much. So we quickly went to San Francisco, came to San Francisco, and found an apartment on Polk Street. And it was very vibrant at that time. Lower Polk was the gay community, which used to go, you know, listen to music. It was very colorful. And then it happened, above me was a couple that had a company called the Waterbed Experience. And they had shops all over the city, and they offered me a job. So I started selling waterbeds all over the city. That's how I got to know the city a bit. And
so they have multiple stores in the city?
Yeah,
okay.
It was like a chain.
Okay.
Waterbed Experience.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I know. I vaguely remember it also. But they were one of their shops was on Broadway.
Yeah.
When it was in full bloom, you know, the strip joints. And so I wound up, I always wanted to come to North Beach because, you know, I heard about the poets, the writers, the, you know, the Bohemians. It's where I wanted to be. And in fact, the first book anybody ever gave me was Coney Island of the Mind. And it was written by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And little did I know we'd become friends later. And he was such a wonderful, brilliant person, but such a wonderful human being as well. Anyhow, my first job was selling waterbeds, and at the time I was young and I looked even younger than I was, and I started selling organic shampoos and lotions, and it was really very organic. But later they realized, the owners realized it was kind of an area that had sex clubs. So we started selling sex products, which I didn't even know what they were, but I really enjoyed the licorice underwear when I got hungry late at night and stuff like that. But it was so wonderful. We had, you know, the ladies of the street used to come and sit on the waterbeds. The wonderful performers at Pinocchio's used to come so flamboyant into the shop. And I just met really, really interesting people. And also at that time in North Beach was full of music venues. We had the Keystone Corner where I heard Miles Davis, and we had the Stone where I heard Jerry Garcia Band and Bruce Springsteen, and we had the Fab Mav, the Dead Kennedys. I mean, just so much. So finally, the waterbed business went out, and a gentleman came into my shop by the name of Ben Friedman. Ben Friedman was kind of a legend in the neighborhood even at that time. He was a character, one of the great characters, and took over the Waterbed Experience on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And I wound up selling Raggedy Ann pins and stockings. He thought women on the street that were the strippers would like these stockings. So I just was selling stuff like that. But it went out of business, and because this other shop on Upper Grant called the Poster Mat had went out of business, so Ben took that over. He had originally been there years ago.
The post-traumatic. Yeah.
I started working for Ben there, and that was an incredible place. I mean, even kids that's still in the neighborhood, like Ida from the Trieste and Anna from Sodini's, that, as little kids, they used to come in and look around with their eyes just huge. And we sold amazing posters of black and whites of Humphrey Bogart and James Dean and Brigitte Bardot with her motorcycle,
yeah.
and Allen Ginsberg, just on and on. And Ben had
right.
bought all a huge amount of posters from Bill Graham and Chet Helms, who had the Fillmore and Avalon Ballroom.
Yeah.
At the time, they weren't worth very much.
No.
Now, of course, we know what happened. They're all worth tons of money in museums, and I don't really have too many. But it was a great experience, and I met so many interesting people, like Margot St. James, who started Coyote, who started the Hooker's Ball, and just people would walk in and out, and it was just an amazing time. And Upper Grant still is an amazing street, but it was even more free-spirited then. But I just want to say, we still have great poets, artists, writers in this neighborhood. We're going to have First Friday this weekend where they all come
right.
out, and it's still an amazing community. And COVID brought us even closer together, so it's very, very exciting still. But I do love those days. And so as time went on, I was in a band, and it happened Ben had an old warehouse on the other side of Telegraph Hill. It was 55,000 square feet. I lived there for 7 years with four dogs, all by myself, with a panoramic view from Golden Gate Bridge to the Bay Bridge.
Wow.
Now million-dollar condos, of course. When they tore, and across the street, Ben rented another warehouse. He loved renting things. And we were bands like punk bands like Merry Monday and other bands. Even my own band used to rehearse. So it was really, really fun. And
rehearsal space is very important. We'll come back to that.
Yes. Yes. As you know, as a musician, it's hard to find a good space.
It is.
Which now we have at Music City. So anyway, so things went on Poster Mat, we had different locations. We never had a lease, so we were kicked out of where... Now, Poster Mat is where Al's Attire is now.
Right.
And Christian says he still... Ben loved animals, so he had a cat in there. He says, kitty, kitty, that people used to come in from all over the world and try to pet. It was all cranky cat, you know. But but anyway, people used to come and visit the cat. He says he could still smell the cat smell in there. But Al's is a fantastic place. But we were kicked out of there. The hardware store took over. And then we went down to where Carol Dota's is. I used to hear Carol sing every night. I didn't know her then. And when she was stripping, she's so beautiful. But later we became friends and we used to sing together. And I used to love hanging out with her. Women used to come up and thank her for being such a forerunner of helping them to express themselves. And she would just, you know, she was so... Yeah, okay, great. She didn't mean to do it. She was just an icon in spite of herself. Not in spite of herself, but she just did. She was a very strong person and lovely, lovely, lovely lady. So then we were kicked out of there, and then we went to the corner where Kasawa is now that used to be Pinocchio's. And that's where I was standing in the 89 earthquake. So I have experienced earthquake.
Oh, yes.
Where a whole window shattered right next to me.
Wow.
So there's just so much in this neighborhood that was and still is. And I have to say, I want to be a part of the revitalization and renaissance of San Francisco that has been kicked around so much, probably because of some people decided we're a perfect target. You know, we have a lot of compassion. We have, you know, we're open arms for people. This is why we come here, because we're included. You know, even I go to Glide Church, and the church is just so embracing of all people. I was in their choir, sang with Sylvester's background vocalist years ago, and just so many opportunities and experiences. I mean, Apple and technology started here, and it turned out maybe technology kind of, I don't know, as great as it is, and I'm learning about it now, which I never knew about, to do my own business.
Mm.
I was always on the ground, which I still am, people to people, but now everything is online, and I'm fascinated but horrified by it at the same time.
We as a society have a lot still to decide about that, I think.
Yeah.
We really do.
We have to really be careful. It's such a great thing, but it can destroy us at the same time. So
I'm sure you share a lot of these stories you've been telling me when you're giving your tours. How did you begin the touring? The tour guiding.
Oh, well, I was always giving people directions anyway when I was a poster mat. But
right.
I went to school in Florence. I took some art classes there, and I love that place. So I love Italy. And when I came back, I had been teaching fitness at the YMCA. And I was the health fitness coordinator for a while. And at the time, I heard about the Chinese Culture Center looking for a tour guide. So I went there, and I got a job giving tours through Chinatown. And it was really great. And I love Chinatown. And we just had the explosion of the New Year's parade, which is so beautiful.
It was great this year, as always.
And it was sunny. It didn't rain.
It was so lovely.
It was so packed.
I heard that might have been a record attendance.
I think so.
Yeah, great.
And I there's such a strong community, the kids. You know, I'm kind of working with the Club Fugazi a little bit, the Dear San Francisco, and I'm trying to organize a youth day for the Club Fugazi. There's such a connection between North Beach and Chinatown. I even developed a tour, the Noodle to Noodle tour with Chinatown, combining them, because we have such a great connection and love. We had the Noodle Fest, and everybody was a winner, and, but...
Yeah.
So, it's just I just want to be part of this whole, San Francisco, love San Francisco, and it deserves all the love it gets.
So you're getting to introduce people who visit here, and people who live here, too.
Yeah.
To some things they wouldn't otherwise know, and you started out doing that in Chinatown.
Yeah.
How long did you do that?
Well, I started giving tours in 2000. In Chinatown, I worked there for about 7 years, and then I worked for someone else, and then I just started my own tour company just before the pandemic. My first tour was the week of shutdown.
And
that didn't happen, obviously, so it was a few years of trying to understand, kind of navigate social media, which I still am, and coming back. So it's kind of slow going. But I'm going to really jump more into my own tours, but because of Music City and what it means to me and what it means to the city, and of course Rudy Colombini, who had the vision, I was really, I wanted to spread the word about Music City as well.
Where you give tours as well, which I've taken with you.
I do.
Yeah, so what do you... share with people at Music City when you give a tour there?
Okay, well, San Francisco is known for its great music. We never got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I don't want to talk about too much, but we should have. But this Music City is a whole hub of music. So I first started giving tours. It's a hotel as well. So within the hotel, there's 90 giant photographs of many of the icons. We have more, but many of the icons of San Francisco Bay Area music, the legends. So I started giving the backstories, and some of the people I actually met, and but other people I heard, and so we would talk about that, and I still do that.
Yeah.
And since Music City has now been pretty much completed. We haven't started on the exhibitions yet, which will be interactive, and we'll have, guitars and underwear and lyrics and whatever great musicians and bands had in the city. So this will be interactive. But right now there's 20 rehearsal studios, which are plug and play, so artists can come in, and San Francisco and musicians need a place to rehearse.
Amps and drum sets are already in the rooms, which as a musician I find to be a great advantage, a great time saver, a lot less hassle.
So much.
Hauling gear from somewhere
so
else.
So much.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
Just so you know, I was in a band years ago. We did Pacific Northwest Circuit, and we had all our equipment, and we wanted to stay in one place longer than we did because then you'd have to carry all this stuff all over the place.
That's
so
right.
I understand. I was a singer, so I didn't have, I just had a microphone, but I know how it feels to have to carry everything, and to have a plug and play spot is just, you know, just wonderful. And then, you know, we have, you know, still have High Street Studios around the corner and recording, and we hope to be doing some of that too. So, and Music City, not only that, it has great food. Now we finally got the okay for great food and live music. So there's stages and there's terrific cocktails and non-alcoholic and beautiful alcoholic cocktails and food, you know, tasty bites.
Great. You and I are talking a couple days ahead of a big event on March 2nd
yes.
at Music City, yet to happen as of our interview time, but it looks like it's going to be huge, and it's really an invitation to the entire area to come out, hear live music. Unauthorized Rolling Stones are playing.
Yeah.
There's an opening act, and then URS come on, I think it's 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Yes, yeah. Rudy and the Unauthorized Rolling Stones come on. There's a band before called Sponge Bath, which I haven't heard before, but I hear they're really great. They're kind of an indie band out of the hospitals. They created a band that is probably more unique than any other band you've ever heard, so I can't wait to hear them.
It's a great name for a band, anyway.
Sponge Bath, yeah. I mean, you really think about what all the medical people went through during the pandemic, and one of the women who brought Heather Moore brought in this band, and you know, she's a nurse and with kids, and she really has a real heart for the city too, and brought this band in, and I can't wait to hear them. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I hope everyone comes out to support Music City. You know, if any investors are out there that are interested in becoming a partner, it would be really great, because everybody's looking for money, you know, but Music City really deserves it. It is the future, really, the future of music in San Francisco and the arts and culture. And I'm hoping that whoever's in the government will really step up and support us. I think they do. I mean, Aaron Peskin has always been really supportive of us and spreading the word and everything. So I'm for this, and I'm just doing everything I can to keep it going.
Great. I, as a musician, I appreciate that so much. It's a gem. It's certainly in our town the best rehearsal space I've ever seen and worked in.
Yeah.
And I've worked in quite a few since 1979, so I'm personally very happy to see it, and I hope for the great, bright future that it deserves, as you say. I certainly agree. So what do you most appreciate about giving tours in this part of San Francisco?
Well, I have to say that I love all of San Francisco. I actually work with some people, give tours in the Hay. There's so much. I love that whole Summer of Love and the colors. You know, I like colors. What I love about giving tours, especially in this neighborhood, you know, we're right next to two of the most vibrant neighborhood city. I also love the
yes.
Mission. Have done Carnival. I don't
yes.
want to leave anybody out, because I know
yes.
the whole city is full of great, great people and
That's
a great
right.
spirit. But because I live in North Beach, in fact, my apartment is right across the street. We're
yeah,
sitting
we're
in the same
at
level on my
yeah.
apartment. And so I hear, see, smell everything that happens in this neighborhood. I can smell the coffee roasting. I can smell the bread baking. I can smell things I don't really want to smell. But, you know, that's what happens when you live in the city. And the whole Italian Heritage Parade goes around my apartment, so that when I don't see it from one window on Stockton Street, I can run to my bathroom window on Columbus and see the rest of it. It's just an amazing spot. But what I love sharing, you know, I know a lot of the history of Red from the Barbary Coast, and still that spirit remains when people came to build a new life. And always interesting, colorful people with great stories. So I love sharing this history I've read. But since I'm so grateful to have come here when I did in the 70s, when I was just a kid, I love sharing my authentic experiences as well. When I've been on tours in some of my favorite cities like New York, New Orleans, and the United States, you know, my favorite tours are always with people who actually live there. And whenever I go to a place, I always try to meet the people that live there. And I learned that from my family. My love of walking and being physical comes from my parents, and my love of people comes from my parents. I may not like what they do all the time, but I love people, and I love sharing our joys. So I love finding out, even on my tours, where the people have come from and how we can relate to each other. We're different, yet we're all the same. And
I'm sure you've met people from every corner of the planet.
I have.
Yeah.
I have, and it's an honor to meet them. You know, even the grouchy people. No, everybody's really nice, but...
They wouldn't be grouchy for long walking with you.
No, they cheer up.
I'm sure they do.
Especially when they taste the food in the neighborhood. We have great food. You know, we go to the great delicatessens. Now we don't have really... We have two, but when I first came here, there was about 12.
Mm.
But we still have businesses that are over 100 years old.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
It's
people
really
who make
great.
Things with their hands. Artists, craftspeople. People come in at 4 o'clock in the morning to make baked goods. I mean, what is that? We're so lucky. The vistas. I'm looking at Coit Tower right now. And what you can see from there. And the paintings inside. Just... Make me all excited.
So now when you're touring at Chinatown, do you have, there have been a lot of changes and a lot of rebuilding in Chinatown too. Are there particular spots you take people that are standouts right now? New places that are standouts maybe?
Well, Chinatown, I used to walk in the pandemic in Chinatown. There was nobody there, just kind of, the walk
so
shop
quiet.
Was open.
Yeah.
Tane, who had it, she's a real character. I love taking people to visit her. She is just, she's got the history there. You know, since I worked at the Y in Chinatown, it was all funky when I worked there, but now it's all state-of-the-art, beautiful pools. You know, I love the Clarion, Clara's place on Waverly Place. She has wonderful performing arts. It's a performing arts center where the... where the wonderful, glamorous Grant Avenue Follies perform. They're women that have been here, one of them is in her 80s. I mean, she's so vibrant, and they're so beautiful and colorful. I love them. And so Clarion, we have so many youth groups, like the Lion Dancers, they give back to the community. And we have, I love the restaurants. They're still there. I was in Chinatown yesterday. And on Waverly Place, there was a new art center that was a part of the Chinese Culture Center. And I walked in there, and it was really amazing. There was an artist he's blind, and he does artwork, and he was showing me how they work with Braille. And that's right across from the Chinese Cookie Factory, which,
yeah.
Of course, everybody goes there.
That's right.
And so there's just great... Chinatown, of course, there's always something happening in Portsmouth Square, the oldest square in the city, it's just vibrant. And what I really love is that there's murals that have been painted. The colors in Chinatown just blow my mind. As I say, my eyes explode with color. And great art and still great places to eat. Dim sum means to touch your heart, and so much of the food in Chinatown is very different. But I call one of my tours Noodle to Noodle because Chinatown has their main or noodle,
yes.
And we have our pasta.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of history is based on food. So there's great food in Chinatown as well as North Beach.
Yes. Well, I've run out of questions, but I'd be glad to cover anything else you think we didn't cover that we should.
Well, I don't know. I just basically think that... San Francisco still has the spirit, the essence of the spirit of why I came and why so many people come here as young people. And it has the opportunity now to rebuild itself. I know nothing, you know, things change, things evolve, but there's a thread of love and beauty and art that will always be. And we have to maintain that. because that is what the base of being a human being and living in this planet and in this world and this life has to do with. So I just want to just call out and thank everyone in San Francisco that still holds the spirit, and we want to keep it going for as long as we possibly can, and not only keep it going but make it better. Another renaissance. I'm ready for a renaissance.
I so like the way you expressed that. Blondina, thank you so much for talking with us, and have a wonderful rest of the week. And I'll see you on Saturday at Music City.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Come on, everybody. It's going to be a great night.
Closing out the show with a reminder of where you can find Blondina online. Her website is blondinatours.com, blandinatours.com. And the same handle on Instagram. Check it out. Book a tour when you're in the city, and you will have a great time. Thanks for listening to North Beach Now.